And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 731. Continuing our team-by-team previews for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We're heading to Southern California, to Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or Los Angeles Angels, if you want to just keep it simple. A team that made a few moves this year, a team that has the former Bubba and the Blue mascot on the squad. A lot of fun stuff there. In order to help us break this down, he's returning to do it once again. One of the biggest Angels fans you'll find. We'll see if he has any fine words for the ownership this time this year. You can find him on Twitter at Surly Attorney. Daniel Prepas, how you doing, my friend?
I've been waiting for this. It's my favorite day in January every year. So looking forward to it and excited to just bitch and moan for an hour or so about my team. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is always a fun one because the beauty of these shows in my mind is that the reason I get fans of the teams is you get the gauntlet. You get the gauntlet of emotions that take place here. So it's not just a fluff piece to this or that. You get the whole thing. So we'll get right into it, my friend. What were your thoughts on the 2024 season?
I mean, as we talked about last year, we had no expectations. So I think they didn't disappoint relative to expectations like they did in, I don't know, the last 15 years prior. So I think we can call that progress.
Yes, most definitely progress. Team didn't get sold. They spent some money this offseason. There's like baby steps, I guess, in this progress. That is for sure. All right. For those keeping track at home, I'm going to use ADP over the last 10 NFBC drafts just as a reference sake, not the end-all be-all. But we're going to kick things off here with a guy. I know we were excited to see where things came this year after getting, you know, hit in the face in the previous season. And that's Taylor Ward, who bounced back with 25 homers and 6 steals last year for the Angels. And right now, if you're interested in Taylor Ward, it's going to cost you an ADP of 187. So how are we feeling about Ward this season?
Well, you know, it's easy to kind of come up with, I don't want to call it excuse, but reasons that he's not hitting the, you know, the season that he's clearly capable of, call it 260, 270, 30 homers. As you said, he kind of before coming into this year, he had the issue of how bad it ended in 2023. He was streaky again in 2024. He was still streaky in 2023 and we know he was streaking in 2022 about the injuries. So I think we're kind of seeing he is who he's showing to be to a certain degree. And that said, an outfielder that can give you a 260 to average with a little upside for more, 20 to 25 home runs with a little upside for more, good StatCast data, especially when you look at the outfield pool now, it's not so much about hitting the upside that he's just a really, really, really solid piece. In a way, I kind of think of him as a poor man's Brian Reynolds, which is interesting because Brian Reynolds is kind of a poor man's superstar of sorts. So I think he's a great price. I think he's a great value. You can't go wrong picking him. What'd you say his ADP is? I know it's over 200, but
No, it's about 187 right now.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I think it started at 200, if I'm not mistaken. So it's creeping up. And I think it's creeping up for the right reasons, which is, as you know, once you get past about 130, 140, it's like, really? These guys are going 150? You know, like, so I think he's a good price. I think you can justify him anytime after 160, which is why the price will keep rising. And I think the big question with Taylor Ward is, how long is he going to stay on the Angels? Because it's clearly another rebuilding year, right? They're not going to compete for this year. And he just makes so much sense as a trade piece, especially because of how low the ARB numbers came in. I think it was around $8 million that he's paid this year. And don't forget, he has another year of ARB eligibility before he hits free agency. I think if you looked at him at the open market, let me ask you, Bubba, what do you think a three-year deal for Taylor Ward, if he was a free agent right now, would look like?
3 years, 42, maybe more.
I was going to say 345, yeah.
Yeah, so we're in the same ballpark. I was trying to think like what Conforto just got, and I know Conforto's older, but I see like a little similar skill set there, so I kind of bumped it a bit. But yeah, 340, 345, 350 sounds about right.
So he's about half of what he should be paid.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And I think that that value, you know, you could say, why aren't they trading him now? I think that value only goes up once he kind of, you know, whether it's he starts hot or he's a little bit more consistent. Other teams have injuries to hit. So I think there's a really good chance we see him moved at the, obviously at the latest by the trade deadline, but I could see it going earlier because there's a lot of things that could open up if you free up his spot. There's a lot of moving parts. So when I think of Taylor Ward, I think of very tradable. That said, while he's on the Angels, he'll probably hit higher up in the lineup. And this is the cheapest I think he's ever been. Well, I take that back. Last year he was cheap, but we didn't know what to expect. But he's coming in healthy this year. So he's probably – we talk about it every year. But I think, interestingly, this is the most underpriced they've all been because they actually have some guys with significant upside and significant value. And I think Taylor Ward's another one of those guys. I think he very easily could hit 30. You're not going to get more than that. But 30 with an average over 250 at worst, yeah, that's underpriced. That should be going a lot higher.
Yeah, I love Taylor Ward. He's coming in like as an outfield 4 or 5, depending on how you draft right now. And like that's primo. Like you can definitely get some upside with him. So fully on board with you there. But I love the part you mentioned, like if this team does not, you know, fulfill its destiny, basically, definitely a trade target at that price tag. You know, some team will be wanting to get him. So it's a great, great call there. Luis Rengifo, a guy that I'm a huge, humongous fan of course. Last year at 300, was leading the league in average before he like pretty much finished his season. 6 homers, 24 steals. So power was down, steals were up. He had a bunch of wrist injuries. So that could have factored, who knows. When you talk about Rengifo right now, there's been some pretty good video. Again, videos are videos right now, but he's working out pretty hard. Looks like things are going in the right direction for Rengifo. He's getting bigger too. ADP is 165. Right now for Luis Rengifo. How are we feeling about the mascot?
Well, let's play the fun extrapolation game, right? Mm-hmm. If he plays all of last season, even with some regression, even with the power drop off, 15 homers and 40 steals.
Yep.
And that's factoring in a little bit of regression of sorts, meaning if he plays the full season, right? So price is around 160, 170, I think. So 1540, I mean, that's a third round player.
Yes. That's, so that's Jazz light, basically. Almost, yeah, it's almost Jazz equal, actually, but it's Jazz light.
Right. You can make the argument that he's got the most upside, fantasy upside, of anybody on that team. Particularly when you factor in that Neto will probably miss. I don't think he misses more than a month, but he's going to miss a month. And he sometimes starts slow. And I don't think there's any reason to think that Rengifo, that his steals will regress or that he won't continue on that pace. So I think he has the most fantasy upside of anybody on the Angels team. And for DCs, when you talk about the eligibility, right, the second and the third, and we know how shallow second base is. There's really nothing there. A lot of kind of middling guys in the middle. So he's probably my favorite pick. And I've tried to take him a bunch of times. The only times he gets sniped from me is when Waxman is in a draft and he somehow takes every single Angel and then says, I purposely draft just to screw people over. So you don't want to draft with me. And I'm like, I don't know what to make of that, but okay.
You're about the third person in the last week.
You know that to everybody? Like, yeah.
Someone else mentioned that on a show I did recently that he literally in the chat was trying to call out the picks that the guy was going to make just to make, like, screw it up. And I'm just like, well, okay. Yeah. You want to spend the money and just do that? Knock yourself out.
That's fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, loving Rengifo, 100% with you on that one. It seems like everyone's catching on. Last year we got the discount. People weren't really all in on him. This year they're much more noticing what's taking place there.
Yeah, and the barrel rate cratered, I think. So everybody says he doesn't have that much power, but as you know, Bubba, it's he still gets his homers.
And he had that wrist injury, like, big time. Like, that had to do something with it.
So, I mean, I really do think that he's a lock for 15 homers. I don't think that that's overly aggressive. And, you know, question of health, it's obviously a big question, but he's going to get his ABs this year. So, again, most fantasy upside of anybody on the team, easily.
Big fan, big fan. All right, this is the painful one we do every season, and it's Mike Trout, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, players we've seen in our history. Like, you know, Shohei's trying to take that crown quickly. Not going to deny that. But what Trout did for numerous years was damn near impressive and just can't stay healthy now. But, you know, this year it's a little different because that ADP keeps dropping. It's down to 140-ish right now. I still can't do it. But are you in on Mike Trout? Because we know the skills, if healthy, is great. But that if healthy has been a question for years now.
I mean, what if he's 140, I think that'll probably get closer to 120. I think it's higher in OCs for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. It's team build. You know, at this point, he's kind of a rich man's Buxton. I think that's a fair comp for him. So there's nothing wrong with the pick, but you're kidding yourself if you want to pencil in anything more than – at the very most 400 PAs. You just can't do it, right? You just can't do it. So
it's almost like he's better for an OC than a 15, obviously, for the replacement value. It almost makes him okay in a DC because of the depth you have at outfielder, you can kind of play that game and hope he comes back at some point. But do you want to play that game is the question. That's not my style of drafting. So I don't have any shares, unfortunately. I know other people definitely will take that chance. And you mentioned the 120. His range is 120 to 170 right now over the last 10 drafts. So some are taking him. It's just all over the board. Yeah. It's tough. I want him to play like 140 games. That'd be awesome. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that's interesting to think about, the other reason I'm a little bit bearish on, you know, the PAs, because normally it's hope springs eternal. That average was low even when he was hot in April and May. And obviously, you know, he underperformed it. But if he's no longer a guy with a upside of more than 250, he's easily a 250 hitter. You know, it's nothing to get too excited about. So, I mean, I think your upside is something like 500 PAs, 35 to 40 homers, you know, with what, 10 RBIs because of the team, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of runs. So, you know, he's fine there, but I'm with you. It's not an exciting pick because you're not getting 40 homers and you're not getting a full season. So you just have to be very strategic around how you use him. And if he's falling, you grab him. But he's an old 33, that's for sure.
Very, very much so. Another one of the new Angels this season is Jorge Soler. Coming over, he played on a couple different teams last year, the Giants, and then he got traded to Atlanta. Guy that we know has immense power. Batting average is usually a question mark, but he can drive and runs with the best of them, something that's kind of been missing at times with this Angels lineup. And with Soler, you get an ADP of 243 right now, so going very, very late for a power source. What are your thoughts or expectations for Soler this upcoming season with the Angels?
Well, I'm bearish, but for narrative reasons. The Angels don't have the best track record with huge power guys. So the other thing I was going to say, sorry, I got sidetracked, is if he's the DH, the other reason I'm bearish on Trout's not going to DH. And I don't think Trout wants a DH. A lot of guys don't want a DH because it takes you out of the flow of the game. And so when he's there, Trout is going to play the field. He is not going to DH. So Soler's the DH. It's a good stadium for him. I don't know what to expect. I think he's a good value. Power is down. So I think you can pencil him in for 30 homers. I think he's going to get a 240 to 250 average. But hard to say. I think he is who he is, and you just kind of cross your fingers for health. But it's a good signing. I think it was a good signing for the team. They needed a guy like that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. If you need power later, I totally can get behind it and could be a nice boost for this Angels team here. All right, first base, Nolan Schanuel. This is a guy that I don't mind, especially in deeper formats. It's a boring play, but he proved me right that he did have more home power than people gave him credit for last year. It was only 13 homers, but it's better than most thought. He was like a, you know, 6-7 home run guy. 13 homers, got you 10 steals. The average is lower than I think most of us expected, but we got to remember he was 22 last year. Still extremely young. ADP is around 300. I don't know what the ceiling really is for Schanuel, but I think at his ADP, it's a pretty decent floor, it feels like.
He sucks. I hate him. I mean, yeah, just look
at, I just saw your notes on the outline.
He sucks, man. Just get rid of him. Come on. You know? That's
beautiful.
I'm sorry, but like, they're already an unserious franchise. And, you know, make the guy prove something. He's not a first baseman. I'm sorry. I guess it is my namesake or whatever, but like, I do not think the guy, you know, Angels aren't getting Alonso. I'm virtually certain of that, but fine. Give him a chance to perform, but I'm not touching him in drafts because I don't think the PAs are going to be there unless he improves. Okay. I just don't. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's got a terrible profile. The steals, everybody on the Angels is going to get 10 steals on that team. So it doesn't mean anything. So
I love it. I love it. Well, let's go to a guy that we know you like. You called this 2020 season before it happened. And that's one Zach Neto, who had the shoulder injuries that resulted in the shoulder surgery this offseason, but not after going 23-30 with a 250 average. Again, the shoulder injury, ADP is around 210. I'm with you. Most reports are saying maybe the first month of the season, but it shouldn't be too long. Are you still willing to take him an ADP at 210 with said question marks?
Well, I kind of feel like a schmuck because before I was even ready to draft, I was like, oh, Neto 150, let's do that. Okay. And then I'm like, I didn't read the reports or didn't see it. So I think it's a no-brainer at 200s. Shortstop is a terrible position this year.
Yep. After the first like 60 picks, it just starts dropping.
Oh my God. And like, you can talk yourself into Bichette a little bit. I love Mason Winn. Everybody does. And Jeremy Pena. But once you get past those two, it's like, who the heck else are you going to do?
That's a massive drop off after them. Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like, I think Trevor Story goes around 240, 250. Who would you rather have, Trevor Story, a potential full season, or Zach Neto 5 months?
If I knew I was getting 5 months of Neto, I'd take Neto. Yes.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. So that's it is a little bit concerning that they're not saying what
they've been so bleak on the entire process.
Right. And there's two ways to look at that. That's, they don't want to rush him. They don't want to put restrictions on it. But I think the right way to look at it is he had the surgery late, is what it is. Mm-hmm. What are the two things we think it could be? What, labrum? Or rotator cuff.
Yeah.
I think it's more performance based than he's going to be available. I think he'll be available. I do think he'll be there by late April. I don't think he's going to be missing half the season. I think it's just, they don't know where he's going to be when spring training starts. And if you think about it, he's going to get there in February. That's only 3-4 months. So it's kind of like, why would anybody expect him to be on track for spring training? So I don't think it's anything that's like a red flag as much as he's going to miss a month. But there's nothing to suggest he's going to miss more than that. But it is a little bit of a mystery.
All right. I'm going to jump ahead to this. I know we're going to talk about some other players later, but since we're talking about Neto, I want to talk about this now. They brought Scott Kingery in. I know people have mixed reviews on Scott Kingery. He's been very good at AAA the last 2 years, like really good. People have been sleeping under a rock. Dude went 25-25 last year. So you have Kingery. Then, just a few days ago, they signed Tim Anderson to a minor league deal. Again, it's been a rough finish to the last couple seasons for Anderson, but you never know. At the price tag, he might get a shot. We know Washington likes older players. Like, something there. So how do you see, like, so say you are taking a Neto. I'm not saying you have to go get the Angels guy for the first month, but who do you kind of see? I know it's going to be a spring training battle, but how do you see it playing out potentially?
I'm pretty locked in thinking that at least to start, Kevin Newman's the guy to target.
Okay. There
you
go.
You know, unlike Kingery, Newman, you know, competent is the operative word, but he's been competent at the MLB level. On that team, we know that Newman can steal. He's a smart base runner. So if you're talking about, you know, having a backup or maybe a month or two, if I take Neto in a DC, I'm taking Newman. I can get him around 600. And I think it's very possible that Newman steals between 5 to 7 bases a month if he's playing. Beautiful. I think he's probably one of the sneakier, shitty depth piece steal upside guys you can have. You want him on the Angels. They proved us right last year. Didn't we talk about how they were going to run with all those guys?
Oh, they ran wild. Oh, yeah.
What were they as far as team stolen bases? Were they?
I can tell you in just a second. I can't remember. I know the Nationals. I think right. The Nationals took the cake because they were ridiculous in what they did. But we can just do a quick scan here. Stolen bases. Nationals were first. The Angels. Angels finished lower than you think.
Huh.
Wait, where are they? I can't. Oh, no, they finished 12th. 103. That probably doesn't help when Rengifo got hurt. But yeah. 133 steals. The Nats had 223. It was like four teams. It was 223 for the Nats, 217 for Milwaukee, 207 for Cincy, 178 for Tampa. Then it drops down to like 145. So there's like four teams that just went nuts. And they're like a glob in the middle.
I still think they're one of the better teams to invest in to run. Yet another reason probably why the prices are still depressed, because there's no reason they're going to run less. They need to run. I like Newman. You know, if you want to play the game to pair Newman with Neto, you're not going to lose that much of a full season. So yet another reason to take Neto. I mean, Kingery is an interesting guy, Bubba, but he's mastered the minor leagues.
I agree. I honestly thought like it was like a running joke, is Kingery even alive anymore? And then they went and signed him, so I actually looked at his Fangraph page I dusted off. It'd been so long since I looked at it. I was like, wow, he actually at least produced a AAA. Like, there's a pulse. That's interesting, because he was so bad for so long.
Hey, you never know. He could pull a Brandon Drury, right?
They could do that. Like, I just think back to last year when the Angels called up Joe Adell. They called up Keston Hira. They called up Willie Calhoun. They loved all the retreads. So
you mean vaunted cleanup hitter Willie Calhoun?
Dude, you
know, Angels baseball, baby.
Those days were just like, what in the world is going on right now? And they still kind of made it interesting. All right, let's go behind the dish, a guy that we both were all in on last year. I'm curious to see where you stand this year, and that is one Logan Ohapi. 20 home runs last year, hit 244 in 136 games. Pretty solid season, struck out more, you know, that raised 5%, but 130 ADP, where do you stand on Mr. Ohapi?
I mean, the key word with him is he's an ascending player, right? So I still don't think, you can read into too much or overweight those issues with, his contact issues in the zone. I think you're kind of overanalyzing things when you start to get caught up in that stuff. We said he was a poor man's Kyle Raleigh. That power is beyond legit. And he's, what is he now, 22, 23 still?
Is up to 25, not surprising. I thought he was like 23 too.
Okay, well, he's a catcher. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I still think, homerism aside, he's a great buy at catcher, because right after him and Real Muto, it also kind of just goes nowhere a little bit from there. So, also one of the – and I really think he's underpriced. I do. I think he should be higher, maybe by 20 picks or so. I think he should be about 110, I think, with at the catcher position. I guess the fear is with Travis d'Arnaud, that he's not going to get all PAs, but if it's going to keep him healthier – and let's be honest, Bubba, if he's going to be one of their better hitters, which he could be, they're going to get his bat in the lineup.
I'm with you.
So
yeah, when Travis got signed, everyone was throwing a fit. I'm like, guys, first off, this position is in baseball, the catcher position has turned into a platoon outside of like 10 teams. Ohapi is one of the top 10 catchers in the game. So start doing the math on that. He's still going to play at least 130 to 140 because he might DH 20 games. That's an option too. Cause we're relying on Trout to stay healthy to not help him DH. Cause so there's a lot of moving parts here. But the other thing I mentioned to others with Travis d'Arnaud is, yes, he gets lefties very well, and Ohapi struggled, but again, young, give him some chances. But Travis can also play first base. You know, your boy Shanuel over there can play first base.
That's your boy, buddy. Not my boy. Sorry.
And he could even DH if someone got hurt or something. Like, so there's avenues for Travis to still get at bats without impeding on Logan Ohapi. And that's right. Because everyone was like panicking. Like, why are we panicked about one of the best players in baseball right now? Like, catchers in baseball.
Didn't Travis d'Arnaud play some first base, or am I imagining?
No, he can't. That's what I was saying. He could play some first base for, like, he could platoon with Shanuel before you're playing dudes with Ohapi, for all we know.
Shanuel's got to earn the right to platoon with d'Arnaud. I'm sorry. Let's keep it real, okay? D'Arnaud's the first baseman. I like that. Let's keep
there. You go. Yeah, if d'Arnaud was going to get everybody at bats, I would draft him too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go from a 25-year-old catcher to a 34-year-old. Can't play more than like 60 games a year. Literally has not played more than 60 games since 2019. And that is Anthony Rendon. I'm not going to go too deep here. Are we still on this train? Is ADP 677?
There is no way under any logical analysis, medical, whatever bullshit thing, you go through the list of the, I mean, let's take out the fact that he's an asshole and nobody wants him to do well anyway.
Yep.
Between the hip and the legs and the complications. And Bubba, as we know, getting older, there is no chance of a rebound. Zero. I mean, does he have? I think maybe he has double-digit home runs over the past 4 years total. No,
he hasn't hit double digits since 2019.
No, let me correct you.
Oh, combined, yes.
13 he's home hit runs.
15, or he's like, hit 20, he's hit 22 home runs since 2020.
Okay, let's take out 2020 because by his standards,
true,
that was a rock star season, or by his angel standards. So
yeah, he has 14 home runs, or 13 home runs, yes.
He was already kind of worthless before the injuries got devastating. So he's penciled in because he's making more than anybody else on the team. Oh, that feels good to say.
And he's signed. He's not a free agent until 2027.
I kind of love it in the most negative and cynical kind of way that no matter how bad the Pujols contract was, it was awful. No matter how terrible the Hamilton contract was, it's a joke. Rendon put them all to shame.
Oh, easily, yeah, by far.
I think it on every level gets the record of the worst contract in Angels history. And come on, man, if you pull that off, you're the champion of champions in the most bad way. I'm not good with words. I'm a lawyer, so. but he's done. So then it raises the interesting question. If he's done, what does that mean for third base? So he's going to play. He's going to give him the chance to start. But even in the best case scenario, he's not paying more than a couple times a week. You know, that's the best case scenario. So the question is, who's going to – let's move off of Rendon. If you're drafting him, good for you. I appreciate you. You know, that's a mitzvah. You know, you're leaving the Kingeries and the Newmans for us bottom feeders that want to profit off them. Yeah. But I think the really interesting thing to think about – oh, by the way, let's get excited. We just signed J.D. Davis.
Oh, I saw it written down. I was wondering where you're going with this because I've gone through that. I went through that pain a couple years ago, so I'm waiting to see this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Let's just say if we play J.D. Davis over Rendon, that would be a good coaching decision. Like, let that sink in, right? Yep. Although you could say that about anybody. Where I'm excited, delusions of grandeur, but it's not based on nothing, is any wild guesses who, hint, hint, young guy, who Perry Manassian said would get reps at third base in spring training?
Is he written down on the sheet here right above Tim Anderson? I don't want to give it away if I'm wrong, but...
Christian Moore.
Yes, that's the one I'm referring to. Yeah.
Christian Moore. So whether that opens the door for him, whether it means if Moore's playing second, Renjifo goes to third. If you really want to mix it up and get interesting, you know, maybe they're a dark horse for Rendon. you know, that would be nice and stupid. It's 31 years old. It's right in the Angels' wheelhouse for the time to invest in a player. So no, but I kid, but that's why I don't worry about where's a guy going to play, because if a guy needs to play at third, that'll be available, right? You know, maybe Tim Anderson will play some days, but
that's true.
Rendon is at the best case scenario going to see a couple starts a week. And if that's the best case scenario, that's still a horrible thing for the Angels, because he's worthless. He didn't hit a home run last year, right?
No, he did not. No.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, the Angels hate him and the Cardinals hate Arenado. Let's just make a trade. Let's Let's see where it goes.
Well, Tim Anderson had one home run, right? Did he have one?
I'll tell you right now. Give me 1 second here. Tim Anderson, there he is. He had zero as well. He had one the year before.
Oh, my bad. I forgot. I gave him credit for that. Yeah.
He's had one over the last 2 years.
Yeah. So I think when you talk about Rendon, the takeaway is not, you know, do you draft him? It's just don't worry about PAs if you're specking on Christian Moore or even your Kingery. I could see that happening a little bit. If Kingery pops, he's going to play and he'll get chances to play. So I think that's the takeaway of Rendon. He's 35 going on Pujols as far as aging. Way worse than that. Pujols at least sort of recovered. You don't recover from hip and knee and broken legs.
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
Dunzo.
Christian Moore has an ADP of 511. Scott Kingery, 677. So, yeah, I take both those guys easily over one Anthony Rendon. Last guy I have written down here. We have a few more we'll talk about that you added that could be interesting as well. Joe Adell. 20 homers, 15 steals, only hit .207. So the average is still a problem, but the strikeout rate was respectable for Adell standards. We saw the power. We saw the speed. He mashed left-handed pitching last year. ADP's 285. How are we feeling on Adell, who's going to be 26 next year?
I like him a lot. He's another one of the underpriced guys. I think that if his ADP is around, 280, 290?
Yep.
He's going to steal 20. He's going to get the ABs. I think with a little bit of growth, I don't even think you need to squint to see that 230, 240 is possible. And in today's game, that's really good. I don't think he's a 210 hitter. So love him. I think he's a great play in DCs with how shallow outfield is. And again, you get tired of the guys waiting for him, but he got better last year. Why isn't he not going to keep getting better? So probably next to Rengifo, my favorite Angels player to invest in. I mean, who else are you going to get that kind of upside, 30-20 upside? But he can do it. I mean, he's the expectations are in the right place. So, I mean, have you been taking him at all?
Yeah, no, I've been at his ADP. I'll take the upside. People are down on the average of 207 last year, but it's like if he just improves to 225, now we're talking about 25-20 type dude. Like the talent's there. So, and he's young and he finally got a full season. I'm in.
He hits the ball too hard and the contact rate is pretty good for him to be a 200.
This team needs that.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's. I think worst case scenario, Bubba, he hits 220 to 225, which still isn't a disaster if he's getting ABs. So love him. Hopefully he hits a little bit higher in the lineup as he should. So
for sure. Got a couple other names down here. You got Ryan Nody invited to the spring camp. He had moments with the A's in the past. You got Keboom. We don't need to talk about JD Davis anymore. anybody else on the potential periphery that we might be interested in this season?
That's on the roster, you mean, or that I think will be on
the roster. Yeah.
I mean, hitting wise, really no prospects of note other than Moore.
Okay.
So not really. I don't think there's anybody. I don't know for you. Is there anybody else that jumped out to you?
Mickey Moniak. I've given up on that ship. We're good there. Yeah. Dare note, if you got regular at bats, it'd be great. We talked about that though. So yeah, really nothing too crazy in that regard.
It's a rebuilding team.
Yes.
That hopefully gets some pieces. My My hope of a move, and I don't think it's that crazy a call because the Brewers do not want him, is Rhys Hoskins.
Dude, I'd be phenomenal for first base to add that pop to that team. Oh, yeah.
And think about it. The Brewers want to move him. They don't want to pay that salary, exercise the player option that they didn't want. And he's perfect for the Angels. He's a perfect fit. So that's my hope because they're not getting Alonso. I know we both agree he's going back to the Mets. I
mean, it's the Mets, like majority stakes, yes, are going to the Mets. It'd be a shocker if he goes somewhere else about at this point. It's gone on too long.
Yeah,
so
he's going back to the Mets. Yeah.
Yep, it's all just he tried and it's not working. All right, let's go to the mound here where you're one of your big free agent acquisitions. Yusei Kikuchi, who's been honestly really good for the last couple of years now. Strikeouts have always been good, but the ratios have gotten better in recent years. And at worst, the dude's a workhorse, which your rotation needs. You guys haven't had that guy that just goes out there and shoves every fifth day because you guys have been rotating a bunch of youngsters for the most part, which is fine. But Kikuchi gives you a little bit of that. ADP of 145. How are we feeling on Kikuchi this year?
That might be my most favorite Angels signing in the last couple of years, because even if he regresses or you know, still underperforms or whatever and has a low four ERA, that's still valuable. And he's a good gamble. Love him. Try to take him everywhere I can. I think his ADP hovers anywhere between 150 and 200. But I think he's a great pick. Because I think if there's one thing that's for real, Bubba, it's the strikeout upside. He's missing enough bats. The swing strike rate is that of a guy that's more than a K per nine. You know, not high expectations, but he's the ace of that staff for sure. Love him. I think he's by far and away. Again, even if he underperforms, there's reason to believe he's legit. So I have zero issue with Kikuchi. I think he's a great pick if you get him anywhere after 160, which I think you can get sometimes.
Beautiful. Yeah, I have a lot of Kikuchi, so big fan of him. A guy, Jose Soriano, who I've been optimistic on. It's just been kind of an up-and-down grind with him. His past year strikeouts dropped a little bit, but ratios are still very, very good. Only threw 113 innings, though, as he battled an injury. ADP's 348. Are we in on that for Jose Soriano?
All the way in. This is probably one of the easiest buys, because I think you can really chalk up, you know, the K rate going down and the issues. He wasn't a starter before. He transitioned. I think that's the most innings he's had. It was a huge innings jump, and he handled it relatively well, right? It makes sense. He started really strong. He missed bats, and he tired. Mm-hmm. So I think he's easily the most underpriced Angels pitcher. He's locked into the starting rotation. He should have upside for, what, 140 to 150 innings pitch, maybe more. And what's his price, like 350, 360 ADP?
360, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. At that price, you're taking guys like what? Like Clay Holmes and Cody Bradford, who I like. But Soriano's still got upside. He still throws hard. He's still got the good love him. Love him. Probably the best value-priced pitcher on the team, I think. Because if he didn't fall off, Bubba, with the way he started, don't you think he would easily be going 200 to 250?
100%, yeah, because he had that strikeout stuff going. The ratios are great. If he ended up throwing 150 innings of what he did last year, yeah, he'd be going much, much higher for sure.
Yeah, easy profit. Love him.
Yep. Tyler Anderson is the flip side of this argument here. Tyler Anderson did the whole smoke and mirrors a couple years ago. That was cool. Tyler Anderson did it again last year with smoke and mirrors, which was cool. I just can never trust it. I'm waiting for the blow up to take place. And apparently most people can't either, Daniel, because ADP is 525. So are we in on, like, in a DC, maybe those innings are worth it at 525, but in a fab league, I'm just probably going elsewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think he just said it best. He is a perfect DC piece because you're going to need starters at some point. And it'll probably give you a chance to win the game. And he was better. He was not terrible last year. He was kind of about above average Tyler Anderson. Again, after 500, who else are you going to take? I mean, it is what it is.
Alec Marsh is next to him. You have Jack Leiter.
Honestly, in a lot of ways, he's just as good as, yes, you know, maybe you get your
very similar
breakout two less a game or something. I don't know. Yeah. Is what it is. But definitely not a bad pick after 500 if you're like, where the hell do I go now?
One of your other big free agent acquisitions this year is Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks still has a pulse going into his age 35 season. He must be there to support. He reminds me of the old pitcher in Major League that's got the Crisco over here and the Ben Gay over here and all that kind of funny stuff. But the professor keeps getting it done. Doesn't strike anybody out, though. ADP 730, and that's about 730 picks too close for me.
What was that actor's name? Not to sidetrack it from Major League.
I can't remember. I'm going to look it up because he was
sorry. Hilarious. I need to know it because it's going to drive me nuts.
Because I was watching that the other night. It was on TV. It was just so good. Where is he?
Harris was his name in the movie.
Harris is his name in the movie. Yeah, Eddie Harris right there. Chelsea Ross.
Okay, I guess I really don't know movies as well as I do.
No, I didn't think that. I thought he had a different name, too. That was totally, yeah, with you.
All right. This is what happens as I get older. I think I remember shit.
Well, this is what happens when we have to talk about Kyle Hendricks.
Touche. Well, yeah. Hey, come on. I think it's fair that the pod goes off the rails once we have to follow up Tyler Anderson with Kyle Hendricks.
It shows you where this rotation is going. But, folks, there's more. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Anything on Hendricks, because to me, he's there to pitch maybe 20 starts this year while the young guys keep developing. That's what it feels like.
Again, 48th, 49th round pick. Maybe you're a masochist and maybe sometimes you get lucky. You know, it's a little of column A and column B, but yes. He's a shitty man's version of Tyler Anderson, who's a shitty man's version of the early Tyler Anderson. So, it's laughable, but, hey, who the hell knows? Stranger things have happened. So
now I'm really curious your thoughts here on one Reed Detmers, who's currently projected to be the fifth starter. We'll talk about some other options, though, because you guys have a handful of them later on the show here. But Detmers, it's the literal ride every year with him. We see amazing starts, and then we see where the hell did that go starts with Reed Detmers. ADP's 353. He's gone as high as 306, as low as 437. So it's all over the board with Reed Detmers. Where do you sit on him coming into this season?
I have no clue. It's a hope and pray guy, mm-hmm. but it could happen. It could happen. I mean, mental, what have you. He did his token. Didn't he have his token like great game at the end of the year?
He had a couple great ones, and everyone bought in for his two star. He had like the White Sox, and he just got shellacked to ruin everyone's season at the end.
Yeah, I got excited. Notice the theme here that's like I'm giving up. I'm no longer excited about any of these guys. I have no clue other than to say, as awful as he was, the skills haven't like completely disappeared. So it's not crazy to think he won't put it together. So it's just a giant question mark, but looking at that other staff, he'll get his chances. He'll get his chances. So what's his ADP, Bubba?
It is around 350 right now.
Yeah, it probably should be worse, actually. It's a fine pick there. Yeah, I don't have it yet, actually, because I'm probably looking. I think I'm looking at outfielders when I get to 350, like Trevor Larnach and Melendez and guys like that. So.
Like I've taken a few shares just because there's the strikeout upside if he ever figures it out, but few and far between at the same time.
Like Caden Dana better, if we can segue to him.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I was going to ask because you guys have a bunch of young guys we saw last year that got cups of coffee with the team. So what are we thinking this year?
I like him a lot. Big fan of his because he's got strikeout stuff, and I think obviously he was rushed to the majors, but he's like he's not like Yu Darvish, but he throws so many different pitches and you know, it makes sense that a guy like that's going to have a lot of stumbles in the major leagues, a lot of blowups and different stuff like that. But he's easily got the most upside of the staff, I think, after Soriano and Kikuchi. And I think even though Detmers is penciled in and Hendricks is penciled in, I don't think you discount or worry about Caden Dana because he doesn't have a spot in the rotation. He'll get his starts. He definitely will get his starts. So I just don't know when they'll come.
Yeah, ADP is 611, so not too bad for sure.
I think when I take him, I'd take him at like 520 or 550 because I do think that he's going to get at least 20 starts this year. Okay. And if he performs, he's going to get more. So I wouldn't read anything into the fact that he's not penciled into the rotation.
Perfect. Any love for like the Silsas, the Kiwanowicz, any of those guys that had some moments last year?
I haven't given up on Silseth yet. I think you can rationalize away the horrible performance with a lot of different arm injuries. I think you can kind of give him a mulligan performance-wise. Maybe not health-wise, but if he's healthy, if the velo is there in spring training and he looks healthy, he's a big buy. Love him late in drafts. I don't even think he goes drafted in every draft. I think he's mostly I'm pretty sure
his ADP 743. He's only been taken in three of the last 10 drafts.
There you go. Yeah. So he's an easy buy because he's a guy to watch in spring training. Watch the velo, watch the health. Because again, you can't really say that he fell off or the skills are gone. He was hurt. So I like that call. I think of all the different speculative Angel starters calls, he's probably my favorite because he's like a post hype that feels he doesn't even deserve that. But by shitty Angel standards, he's a fun post hype guy. Let's put it that way.
There you go. Yeah, because I was in on him last year, and then the injuries kind of derailed that train. All right, is this the year we go all in on Ben Joyce as the closer? Everyone's wanted him for so long. Looks like it's his world to go with now. It's ADP 160 when we're talking closers. So how are you feeling on Ben Joyce?
You got to love the price. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's fair to say, and tell me if you disagree, that he's going to close games. It's just a question of primary closer, how many games?
Yep.
I'm not gonna do the wish casting or the bullshit narrative that he's Mason Miller with how hard he throws and make another leap. That's just if you're saying something like that, then you just need to like take a step back and say, did I really just analogize Ben Joyce to Mason Miller in any way? And if I did, why was I doing that? Was I thinking? Was I drunk? Did I have my coffee yet? I don't know. So I like him a lot. I've actually reached for him. I've gotten a lot of early picks in DC's Bubba, which I don't like. I really want to pick from the back half this year, but that's a conversation for the other time. I don't know if you agree with that. I think, especially now with we see your boy Urseg getting Bogarted, pissed off at that too, man. I love.
Oh man, he was a good one to wait on if you wanted to, and then just got destroyed. Right.
We don't know how it's going to shake out, but now that we're seeing, like, you know, call it closing platoons or something like that, I think with Joyce, he's going to get every chance. And let's be honest, if it means he's not pitching back-to-back games, it's kind of like our catcher point with Ohapi. It's semantics to a degree at that point, or splitting unnecessary hairs. I think he's going to get 20 saves if he's healthy. And I think at 150 to 180.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the case stuff should get better because let's be honest, he finally showed out. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised why do you think his price is it because he's always hurt in the shoulder at the end of the year? Why do you think he's so low? Cause I think he is lower than he should be.
I think it's probably the shoulder at the end of the year, and there's still like that slight question that they didn't let him run with it at the end, which I don't think should be a question. I think it is his gig as long as he's healthy. So if anything, it's the shoulder, and that ADP is going to keep climbing up with Estevez going to Kansas City with all these. And the last two DCs I've done, the closers have just skyrocketed to the top.
There you go.
So yeah. Like it's good. Like Joyce, if we did this show in like two more weeks, Joyce might be like 115, 120.
Right. There's one buyer beware on it. And I think that there's legitimate smoke. The Angels are going to sign. I think it's going to be one of two guys. Robertson hasn't signed yet, right?
Nope. He's still available.
I think they're either going to sign Robertson or Finnegan. I think they're going to
both be good signings for them.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. They'll be good signings. And I don't think that if they sign them, it means that Ben Joyce isn't the closer. I think it just means that, okay, he was appropriately priced at 180, yep. Right? I mean, they're going to bring somebody in, and even if they do, it's not a bad thing because he's still going to be, I think, at least a co-closer. So if anything, if they sign a Robertson or a Finnegan, that's when you go in on Joyce, because he's going to drop below 200 at that point. So again, one of my favorite buys, because I think he's mispriced. I do, by about 20 to 30 picks.
All right. So yeah, we got, I like the Joyce take. They should sign someone. That makes sense as well. Any other guys we should maybe keep an eye on, just in case they don't sign someone and something happened to Joyce? Like, Stevenson's still on the IL, but he was a popular target last year before that took place. Any other options in the back end of that bullpen?
Yes. It's, I'm going to go on a limb and say he hasn't been drafted yet, and I haven't, but Cam Menachi. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Not been drafted.
Yeah. He's got legit strikeout stuff. And he looked good in the minor leagues, and he's going to be up there. And even in a worst case scenario, he's going to get a shot. He's going to get high leverage innings. So that's your dark horse. Other than that, you're looking at your, you know, Quijadas. Remember him? He resigned with the team. He's a lefty. He's going to do that. And then here's a fun one. I was doing research. This is a fun fact. Stevenson's going to pitch this year. Mm-hmm. And I was all ready to go down my, you know, crying, whining, you know, hey, look, they paid for Stevenson. Should have been one of those deals where it was as if they signed a guy that already had TJ. They were paying for the second, third year.
It felt like.
But listen to this. You know, maybe we can look at this as the reason that the Angels did something good. They had a clause in his contract that if he missed more than 130 games in a given year, it triggers an Angels team option for 2027 for $2.5 million.
That could be a steal.
You like that call?
Yes.
I mean, go. I don't know who gets credit of it, but
I'll let you decide, because I know you like to get, you don't like a lot of the things the front office does. I'll let you decide who gets credit.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's a steal. Like, that's a brilliant move.
Because if he gets hurt again, it's an easy cut for nothing. And if somehow he's great, $2.5 million in 2027, like, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like the opposite of deferrals.
It can be like the Angels' new trademark. Like, they're going to built in, you know, guaranteed.
Should have done that with Rendon.
Hey, you know.
Win some, lose some, I get it.
Win some, lose some. I don't know. I thought that was spectacular. So
that's
and again, he aren't the TJ times getting a little shorter with that internal brace thing? I don't know.
It's usually like 9 months now. Yeah.
And he had the surgery in what, April or May? I can't remember.
Yeah, they're saying mid-season for him.
That's fair. I think that's fair. So that's another end gamer or whatever. Probably more appropriate for if Joyce gets hurt. You know, Stevenson or Menachi. But I kind of like just to keep in the back of your mind Menachi, because if you check him out, Bubba, he's got strikeout stuff. And by the way, he's a closer. He's not like a guy that could be a closer. That's what he is. So the Angels have a high upside closer in their system. So that's the guy to kind of keep an eye on. And then the other dark horse, and again, this is, you can get him off the wire, or I guess you can, again, we're talking 50th round picks, right? Mm-hmm. They're all 50th round picks.
All of them.
I was like, if we could do a show on picks, rounds 51 to 60, I could fill up the entire hour.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yeah.
But Sam Bachman, you know, they had him. It's not like we're going to make him a start. He transitioned to a starter in the minors. And I think he's going to see a handful of starts. And you never know. You never know. I of all the guys, like if you talk about minor league guys that come up, I'm very curious to see what happens, because if you remember in small spurts last year, he didn't look terrible. He's you know, he's a first round pick. So it's an interesting one. And okay, I'll go with the stupidest, most absurd narrative. But since I heard somebody do a Joyce Mason Millen narrative, I'll go with this. How about Sam Bachman becoming the next Garrett Crochet? You want
good
to kick
Lord.
Him now?
That's,
you know,
that's
a guy that was a top 10 pick.
Oh, I got you. I get where you're going. That's going with that. Bold. That's bold.
No, it's not bold. It's idiotic, but I'm self-aware, if nothing else. So there you go.
Well, if it happens, we know where to clip it from. I'll say that much. We'll keep the self-idiotic part out of it.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, before we wrap this bad boy up, the question I have for you now that we've talked about the roster.
Yep.
What's your expectations for 2025?
I don't know. Nothing.
Keep the expectations low and everything else is gravy.
I mean, hold on a second.
Fantasy baseball,
let's just frame it this way. Tyler Anderson, Kyle Hendricks, and Reed Detmers in your rotation. What are your expectations for them,
Ben? In a three-game series, you might be okay. I got you. It's tough. They need one more pitcher. They need one more pitcher for sure.
Oh, did you hear the rumor about Jack Flaherty?
That would be huge. That'd be a great spot. Like, got a 1 year or 3 year with an opt out or something. Like, that'd make a ton of sense.
No, I didn't say it to get excited. I said it more of maybe it can be a.
It would be an upgrade over those names we mentioned.
Oh no! Swim in the negativity with me. I'm saying we've got a great track record of taking guys that popped with the Dodgers out of nowhere when they should have been finished.
Oh, the Tyler Andersons of the world.
And then we bring them back to where they belong. And nobody does that better than the Angels. So,
well, it makes sense. He's an LA guy. He can't sign with the Dodgers because they can only have so many players on a 40-man roster. So go to Anaheim.
You know, Kyle Hendricks is an Orange County guy, a South Orange County guy.
I did not know that. There you go.
So there's a fun narrative for him. So
coming home.
I hope they get Arenado. I heard that rumor. You think
it would fit perfect there? He would fit that team so well. And trust me, I did the Cardinals preview, and Matt Thompson knows that team back and forth also, and he's got some connections with the squad. And the club, they don't like him at all. There's no love lost with Arenado in the team right now.
Yeah,
they want him out of there. So. Like, you guys could get him for – like, whoever wants him could have him for cheap right now, basically.
I mean, but I think I read somewhere that what would be an interesting call is moving Devers to first and the Sox take him at third. That, you know, he'd want to go there with the –
yeah. They've already mentioned that one. They're hoping that happens, but that kind of has quieted down, so it might go different directions here. You still got Bregman out there too.
Yeah. So my last question for you, I want to hear you speculate. Okay. Give me your best case scenario or your ideal Taylor Ward trade.
Taylor Ward trade. So it's got to go to a team that needs an outfielder. The Braves always trade for an outfielder, but it won't be them this year, I don't think. Let's see. Taylor Ward goes to the Houston Astros. You're in division, which is tough. I get it, but they have their outfield atrocious right now.
Right.
And you're going to get back like a Zach DiCenzo who can play corner infield. Heard you guys might need one of those. Maybe a young pitcher as well. They got plenty of those. Like, you can get a couple prospects back for a cheap Taylor Ward rental. So I think that's an angle.
I like that call. And then you can take credit when it happens.
I'll clip that one. We got all kinds of clips coming out of this one just for our Hail Marys on this show. So we got that for sure. But all right, my friend, we're going to wrap it up there. Always, always a pleasure talking with you, and especially talking Angels baseball. Remember, everybody, follow Mr. Daniel Prepas on Twitter at Surly Attorney. And any final thoughts as we head out of here?
No, I think I said my piece. And
you aired your grievances. We're good.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you one last thing, interesting thing. The Artie Moreno, as the Artie Moreno turns, more lawsuits that he's getting into. The team is – the lease is being audited to see if he cheated it too much.
Oh, Jesus.
And that lease could be killed because right now it still goes through 2029. So – I'll be very interested to see if actually he finally gets ousted because everybody wants it to happen.
So that's too much. That whole thing is just hilarious with all the backdoor shadiness that took place there with Mr. Moreno. So even Disney can't save him. But all right, we're going to wrap it up there, everybody. Make sure you follow Daniel on the Twitter again at Surly Attorney. And this was Benched with Bubba, episode 731, your 2025 Los Angeles Angels team preview. Catch y'all next time.